This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday. It's a Man Down Mashup Wednesday. It's a little after 11 and once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. Joining me today is Erin Green from On The Clock with Erin Green. Of course, this is Guardian Radio AM. I'm going to start off the conversation with something controversial because Erin wants to respond so I can set her up that she's able to respond. I still want to talk about the Smugglers of Migrants Bill, but something else I want to start the conversation with. First of all, watch me be there. I want to congratulate.
Oh, group of season close. Be careful.
I want to congratulate Miss DeSante Small. She was named Senator of the PLP Senator. I'm familiar with the lady. I don't know personally, but I'm familiar with her and her activities and her efforts. So I want to congratulate her. Now, this is where the baiting comes in. Erin have a problem with people, not the Senate Small, but they're talking about the Senate and how the mechanism or machination of the Senate is being used or being managed or what it is. Just going to explain the point what she means, right? I believe that the Senate, even though it's the upper house and the House of Assembly is the lower house, I believe the Senate is used for those people who aspire to become a member of a parliament. We have young, dynamic people inside the Senate right now, such people like Mr. Sente Small, such people like, what the FNM lady name?
Michael Barnett Ellis.
And then just recently we moved one from the Senate who became a PLP MP.
Was it Strawn?
No.
Moss?
Pickstock.
Oh. Yeah, Pickstock.
Young and dynamic. Just recently.
Wasn't Jamal Strawn?
Jamal Strawn. I think he just moved. Didn't he move to go do ambassador or some? Anyway, we have young, dynamic people in the Senate. The Senate, we in the Bahamas tend to use the Senate as a training ground, maybe, or introductory type system. And usually one or two of the people in the Senate are promoted or move. Erin has a problem with that. And I'm saying, man, Erin, we just celebrate our young Bahamians participating in the system, that they have something to contribute. But Erin has a problem with it. And I can say, I can give you time. We can hash this out. So what's your issue with Ms. Small being appointed?
I don't have an issue with Ms. Small per se at all. It's not a personal issue. I don't have a problem with the PLP, per se. This is a political culture critique. Just a quick AI overview. I just searched Commonwealth Senate definition, right? Here's what popped up. A Commonwealth Senate, particularly in Australia, is the upper house of the federal parliament, acting as a powerful check on the government by debating and amending laws representing states and territories, not just populations, right? Distinct from the lower house of representatives. Okay. The upper house acts like a powerful check, not just, that's British, on the government and the lower house, right? And so here's an example. You have a developer who has approached the community. He wants to put in a major infrastructural change, maybe a bridge, right, between two small keys. Has been attempting to get this project off the ground over, say, 25 years, five terms. The bill goes to the lower house. It's voted on successfully, mm-hmm. right? It goes to the Senate, and then the senators say, we understand the constituents of this, the residents of this constituency have all said that they need a solution. They want a bridge. What we have to point out is the years of documentation that shows that this project is just not viable. It's not tenable. Over decades, we've done the environmental research has been done to show that it's not tenable. So although the residents, whether they believe it or they've been convinced that the development is a positive thing, historically, we have documentation that shows that it's not. An elder statesman with institutional knowledge, right, sitting in the Senate can say, listen, I've followed this conversation over the last 15 years. Although a solution is desperately needed for this community, I cannot sign off on it because my experiential knowledge of the issue, right, renders me unable. I have to tell you, this is an untenable project. We're not going to pass this bill. We're prepared to tell the public or the constituents generally why. That's an example of how the upper house, the Senate, should function. That's why I say, if you can't find Jerry, if you don't know why they can't find Jerry Roker in town, you don't belong in the Senate, because you have to have a degree of experiential knowledge. Here's the next thing. The Senate is not limited to politicians. Right? The Senate is not limited to politicians. There's no law that says only political party members, vocal and overt supporters, can be appointed senators. It has been bastardized in such a way that you don't even see the full potential of its function. There should be people with good track records in their field. You should have people who have been in construction for 20, 30 years being selected as senators. It's not just lawyers and people who support political parties. The purpose is to bring experiential knowledge and expertise to the space. That's the purpose. It has become a Senate to lower house pipeline. It appears as if it is now being used to reward party members and supporters for their loyal service to the party. That's not its function. You do a discredit to the young people you put in that space, right? And then you do a discredit to the public, because whenever somebody raises critique, you don't like them. Oh, y'all don't like little children. Y'all don't like young people. Young people, they ain't gonna have a chance. Ms. DeSante Small, Benaby Small.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
Has a great record in politics. She is an ideal candidate for the lower house, not for the upper house. It does not diminish her record at all. It only points to the bastardization of the Senate. It's being used as a partisan political mechanism to the detriment of governance.
I see we have a caller here. Let me get this caller involved. I'm not sure if we can afford senior statesmen or senior men, because their value, their time is money, is pricey. To imagine now a caller coming to you right now, a senior executive or a senior construction person, like a senior lawyer, senior whatever, who now is in their leisure time, right? Where their basic paycheck is $100,000. They can't be making no $15,000 and where they could have been enjoying life.
Basic paycheck is $100,000 and you have not been able to devise an economic plan or cushion for yourself in your retirement, hold on, then you're not the type of person we need in the Senate. That's not the type of experience we're looking for.
Those people are not interested in the Senate. But let's go to the caller.
See, that's the point that we could make. Yeah. Why are people not interested in serving in the Senate, although they're still interested in enjoying the similar stature? See, they don't want to serve, but they want to be heralded and regarded mm-hmm. with the same stature as those who serve.
Let's go to the caller. Next thing you tell me you want McSweeney be a senator. Let's go to the caller. go ahead, caller. Garden Radio AM.
Yes, sir. Besides them not having a security of tenure, right? It's not an elective body. you know, in the UK, they're debating the abolishing that, at least the form it's in. It's not being elected. You know what I'm saying? And you see, look how is it so different? It's so different in the Bahamas, and you know what I'm saying? And we say we practice Westminster, but they have pairs, man, life pairs and all that. They have, you know what I mean? So they have that, giving them a security of tenure, like I say, besides not being elected, buddy. That's you know what I mean? How intelligent the elector, the appointed senator is, or it's not relevant. It's not, you know what I'm saying? It's just an extension of the executive, not even the government, the executive branch. It's not even an extension. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we got to address this, that, not, what I'm saying, would you say you celebrating the appointed senator? What did he say? He congratulate. What are we doing?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Why we, you know, that's why we are where we are today. What are we teaching the youths? What are we teaching the generations?
Listen,
come on, man. Thank you very much.
Somebody said to me yesterday, this is what they said in response to my critique of the political practice, not partisan, but political practice of appointments of senators in their attempt to defend Small in a space where Small needed no defense, right? Because it's not an attack on Small. Their response was, she's been the president of the PYL, the Progressive Young Liberals.
Like I said, she's a talented woman. We don't take it away from that.
Right. Perfect for the lower house. I have to make this point. You cannot come to us and say they were the president of the PYL, that means that they deserve a spot or they are qualified for a spot in the Senate. That's the youth arm of the party. You can't go from the youth arm of the party to the Senate.
Let me stick a pin there and give a pretext for people who are listening.
Yeah.
Right? Erin Green is a member or belongs to or participates in a high-end WhatsApp group. Forgive me, Erin. This high-end WhatsApp group have a lot of influential bohemians in it. They pontificate, they intellectualize, they do arguments about the Bahamas in terms of how the Bahamas should manage. This is a good group, great group to be involved in terms of the direction of the country. And they analyze.
And context.
And context, yeah. They analyze systems, right? So when she said she was having a conversation about the Senate, I just want to listen to the audience to appreciate that these are some of the movers and shakers of the Bahamas she's debating with. And they're musing about parliament systems, about economic systems. And so some great resources are there. So I just want to say that so people can appreciate it there. And you made the point that one, the person in this group, right, made a reference that Ms. Small has experience in politics, but you're saying that her experience makes her be more beneficial in the lower house instead of the upper house.
She has a great record, right? In the party, and she has a career in the public service, right? She is not, and she hasn't been confined to one agency, right? She has a breadth of knowledge about practice and culture throughout the civil service, right? In ministries and in agencies. Her tenureship as chair of the PYL, leadership capacity. She is the ideal candidate for the lower house. I would expect to see her getting ratified for the general election. It is no discredit to her that I would say that she is not a suitable candidate for the Senate. Now, I'm not saying among the candidates that exist. I'm saying that the entire culture, the entire policy or protocol is bastardized. They've missed the point.
Pick Stock just moved from the Senate to be a member of Parliament, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you have given the same critique of Pick Stock? regarding his
yes,
religion.
Yes, right?
So you would say that Pickstock was not best suited for the upper house at, when he was appointed. And going on with the next gentleman now, I think, ambassador. All yes, those young people yes, who they put there.
Yes, they're not. Where's their body of work? Where's their body of work that I could turn to, right, and find and read and get a sense of what it is they've contributed to the country so that I know the context or the framing of their contributions in the Senate? Where is their body of work?
You would say the same about Michael, or what is Michael?
Barnett Ellis.
The same thing too?
Yes, where's her body of work? Right? Where is the body of work? Are y'all using the Senate to give people exposure and notoriety so that when it's time to bring them to the lower house, they're more well-known and more exposed than other candidates? Is that what you're using the Senate for? It does not diminish or discredit the individuals who have been appointed to the Senate. It speaks to those who make the appointments.
Let's go to the callers now. We're about to do that. Smugglers of migrants is going to be sent to the Senate. A number of those young people who you're talking about are still in the Senate, even though they, some of them are doctors and lawyers and experience, whatever it is, they understand the law and the intent, what it is. I want you to come in after the caller, because the caller being holding. You're saying that on the ground experience, social experience, long life experience, you don't think that they might appreciate what this law is saying?
No, it's even more than that. I'm 49.
Mm-hmm.
So 30 years ago, I was only 19. I barely knew anything about politics, right? At 25, at 29, that's only 10 years of experience in the world. At 39, that's only 20 years of experience in the world. The Senate should be maintained for people who have 30 and 40 years experience in the world.
Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Sorry for holding on. I was just making sure Aaron hashed out the point.
Let's say 25 to 30 years.
Go ahead, caller. You're live.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning, Mr. Neary and Madam Green.
Morning.
I hear you say earlier how, first I should say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays and Season Greetings to all of you. I hear you saying earlier like how wording is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, did the opposition leader really go as far as to say that after the next general election or when they went that any documents, any newspapers quoting what he said yesterday that when the government changes, somebody can do with this bill, this smuggler's bill?
Well, the headline in today's Guardian, Pintard vows to repeal migrants' law.
Okay.
He says he will...
Why you used the word wow? When you teach us earlier that wordings is so important.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to the news. I think that Charlene Ferguson, and I think she done do it twice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I listen to the TV, it sounds like... It's like how you say he wow, right?
Mm-hmm.
It almost saying, when... Next 20, 30, 40, next year, whenever the general election. But this Charlene Ferguson, the lady, the news lady, is saying, the opposition leader is saying, if he win. And I know people might say, big small words, why are you making a big thing about it? But wording, like you say, Ms. Green, is so important. And I wonder if she quoting the opposition correctly. And if not, someone should correct it. I'll hang up and listen.
All right,
I hear you. Ms. Nury? Did you hear the report, the news report? Charlene Ferguson's report, I think, on Guardian?
No, I didn't miss it. Sorry.
All right. I think you make a point. It's very important to pay attention to the words that are used and where they're used. He vows to repeal migrants' law. Why you don't create a memorandum of understanding? Why you don't put it in paper and say, this is what we're going to commit to doing if we win the next election? Like put it, listening to the language, understanding the language is so important, right? When trying to get a sense of what politicians are going to actually do.
Yeah, I have no confidence.
Remember when the Prime Minister said...
I have absolutely no confidence that they plan to repeal it.
Remember absolutely. When the Prime Minister said he vows to consider interrogating something? I was like...
The Immovable Properties Act. A number of behemoths are vexed to that and say that need to repeal. That is urgent. For behemoths to afford housing, right? Especially in this housing crisis. This, has the opposition leader mentioned anything but repealing that?
No.
See, I don't pay no attention.
And so, earlier when I said, hey, if you want to get a sense of the, I don't want to say authenticity, like the truthfulness, but not just whether he is telling a lie to me, but whether he's lying to himself.
I think he's lying to himself.
Right? You ask some questions. If you ready to repeal the migrants law as soon as you get into government?
And replace it with what?
Bang. What are you going to replace it with? How will you compose the law to address the same matter? Mm. Do you have a draft? Do any of the members of your party, can they speak to it? Could we have a conversation with them that would leave us with the confidence that they have been discussing this subject, they've been educating themselves, and they've been doing real work on it?
This seems like he's going to leave a void.
Here's the next thing. I tell people, any politician you have in a conversation with about migration, right, whether it's legal or illegal, first things first. Ask them about the white people and see if they use the word expat or migrant.
Well, white people are expats and black people are migrants. Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, Kermit Patcher.
You pulled that bait out the water so fast.
Good morning,
Aaron, and good morning, I'm CA.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, I kind of agree with you in respect to the Senate post. Firstly, let me congratulate Ms. Small on our achievement, you know, but then you look at how the Senate was designed and what it's supposed to do. It was designed for experienced persons who would have already, like lay magistrates, retired magistrates, stuff like that, and professional people who have the experience in the upper house, but they're bastardized and, you know, the system like they did everything else. And it's more for, it ain't about the work you would have done. It's about your family connection and other things that plays a role. You know, because if they were serious about nation building, you have AI right now. You can check out all the activists in the country who have been doing a great job over the years and who people, many of the issues they spoke to, many people could gravitate to. But they don't want any activists or nationalists inside to shape policies and law in the country. They want cronies and other stuff like that. That's why we are where we are today. You know, it's not about nation building, okay? It's about party, rewarding party loyalists and keeping this legacy or, so to speak, concerning certain families. But it ain't what they bring to the table. But that's how we govern and that's where we are today, you know? And I think now I heard Charlene Ferguson report the official leader of the opposition say when he becomes the government or if he becomes the government. That is key.
Yeah, I guess you semantic for words. I guess he says when.
I believe he said when, but I think it might have been changed to if, you know, but because I don't think he would have spoken like that. I'd be surprised if he did, you know, but words are very important, you know, and put them in the right context is also important. But that's just my small contribution for the morning.
Thank you.
Remember Mr. Henfield?
Mm-hmm.
Bernard?
Oh.
Remember We March?
We March.
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember that?
He marched.
Did he march?
But they marched.
Or was he carried?
I think it, yeah. Agenda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was kind of the reverse, right? Because that started off with a community advocate, an activist, claiming no affiliation, no allegiance with any formal political party, but also declaring that they had no intention, right, of becoming affiliated in formal ways with the parties.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I imagine we understand if you're doing community work as a civil society member, you're going to interact with the government. So that's not what he meant. And then after the second march...
Yeah, the lure of government.
He became a senator.
Yeah, the lure of being a part of the establishment. Let's go to the next caller. Guardian Radio AM, go ahead. There's a man down matchup. We're talking about senators. We're talking about this smugglers migration bill and how the importance of senators relating to all of that. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Good morning to both of you in the studio, Green, and Nuri as well, to the wife of the Bahamas, C. Allen Johnson, critical thinker. You know, you made a lot of statements, and... Ms. Green, you know, you said language is very important. Let me make 2 points. You mentioned the word, you like to use the word culture a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the first four letters of culture is?
The first four letters of culture?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They used to say Jesus Christ was a cult.
Yes, yes.
Who was a cult?
Right. So it's a cult. So you know, we talk about political culture. Mm-hmm. It's a cult-like type environment.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, even when you talk about this bill, it's the smuggler's bill, and then you go into the migrant bill. And what is disturbing to me is when people say, "What Mr. Michael Pintard going to do, or what the FNM candidate's going to do," when they are governing for the people. Governance without consent of the govern, right, is the definition of slavery. And this is what this government is doing right now. It's what they want, not what the people want. And I think Mr. Pintard will represent what people like myself want, who is studied, database, and can have a sensible argument about this and any other bill, right? So it's not what he wants. When he gets to the House of Assembly, the repeal of this bill will be a call for us. And then you ask, what is to replace it? And you use the word of migrants. There's an organized method for building a country.
Let me stop you there and ask this question.
Yes.
Does, from your information of being involved with the FNM party, does the FNM...
I'm involved with my country. Okay. I can tell you what the FNM is doing and what the PLP is doing. None of them can contest what I say.
Has the FNM announced any other bill that they plan to replace? When they repeal this smuggler's bill, would they plan to replace it?
It doesn't... See, you keep saying they will replace what we demand.
We demand nothing yet, but we demand...
No, we are demanding. We've been demanding it for 30 years.
We want someone to target the smugglers. I want to know what the FNM plan to do with the smugglers.
But you know what impressed me? At the beginning of the year, when the opposition party called for a commission to look at the full aspect of immigration and migration, that's what it is. And, you know, it's like buying buckets, it doesn't solve the problem. We must look at where we are. It's called a gap analysis. To look at where we are, the problems what we have developed over the years, and the steps that is needed to take it. Not keep patching. Let's get another bucket. Let's get another tub. Let's get another top to throw over the roof.
So you're saying the FNM plans to do a commission?
Beg your pardon?
So that's what the FNM plans to do then when they repeal it?
I don't know what the FNM plans. I'm telling you what we are asking for. You see, I know you guys like to say with the FNM. See, I was with the PLP when I was advocating for change.
That's
right.
That's the past.
I was going against it. No, but that's what I'm saying.
Talking about the current now.
Hello?
We know you're you're anti-PLP now. We talk about the current.
No, I'm not anti-PLP. I am pro good governance.
Oh, okay.
And when somebody comes into government, give me a contract, verbally and written, and has failed by 87.2% to keep their word. What do you call that, Nui?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm saying, so see, don't label me. Ask me who I am. Okay? So
I'll ask you, who do you support?
Okay?
Who do you support? Which party?
I support the best person right now to replace this ineffective, failed government that I've helped put in place.
That's Lincoln Bean?
Lincoln Bean who? Lincoln Bean even have a slight chance of... Lincoln Bean has as much chance of sliding that a rusty brush razor blade into a pool of alcohol and feeling no pain.
Just checking.
Okay? See, I know Lincoln Bean, and I was there before Lincoln Bean. Okay, I said to this, let me just go on Lincoln Bean. Today, for everybody who believes in the Coalition of Independence, I have an unlimited supply of aragonite that Lincoln Bean take itself for $7,000. Me or Mr. Curley will sell it to them right now for $25 a day and deliver it to wherever they want. They don't need no trucks, no tractors, no nothing. So they can make their $7,000 a ton. Why do we have to wait for him to be elected? Let's make the money now if Lincoln has the ability.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so let's go back to governance.
Go ahead.
Okay?
Wrap it up.
So what we need... is, and this ties to what Mr. Fred Mitchell said. You know, if you listen to the, she's no longer charged the affair. What is it? I forget a new title, right? But if you listen to how she said, we already talked about this before. She didn't say that she's responding to that, you know. So the point is that we already have conditional entry in there. One of the things that the U.S. policy is that they have a concern about countries who cannot effectively identify the individuals within their country. Is that not sound like the Bahamas? It is. And so what we have to do is we have an immigration crisis that has existed not for the last 4 years, for the last 15 to 20 years that everybody's in a sense of denial. And no matter what, the human people know, the human are looking for people who effectively understand the 21st century, okay, that technology can solve 95% of the problems we face with immigration.
I appreciate you, C. Allen. I always love when you call because he reminds us of what is wrong and what we need to do.
I was going to say, I may be one of those deniers, C. Allen, because I'm going to tell you, we don't have an immigration problem. We have an administrative problem. Right? We have an administrative crisis that is resulting in a number of crises. And one of those is an immigration crisis. But at the root of it, it's an administrative crisis.
We're going to take a quick commercial break right now. We're still talking about the Senate. We're still talking about the bill,
Junkanoo.
Oh, you're talking about Junkanoo?
Yeah, yeah. Here's the headline. Alive blames unprecedented surge.
They added more
people. As tickets app crashes again. Hold on. No.
Leave Alive alone.
I don't know. I don't have a problem with Alive. I have a problem with this headline. Alive didn't write it. I mean, maybe it's what the headline says. Or you could blame an unprecedented surge. You didn't know that people wanted the Junkanoo tickets?
Everybody wanted Junkanoo tickets.
On day one, you didn't know they was going to be there to buy the tickets?
Yeah, technology. Yeah. Guiding Radio AM, we're going to be right back.
Sway to the beat. Let the music make you move your feet. Happy people everywhere, dancing in the street. Celebrating Junkanoo to the Junkanoo beat. I don't need no big truck.
Bulla boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $50,000 to provide holiday meals for families in need. But we need your help. From November 3rd to December 17th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Cost Right, Fresh Markets, Eleuthera Markets, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in New Providence, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio. AM is Amanda Mashup Wednesday, where we combine both shows. Aaron Green is with me. We're still talking about the Senate. We're still talking about the smugglers or smuggling of migrants. Aaron just pointed out that a live system crashed for Junkanoo tickets. I am assuming that is up and running now. Is it?
Yeah, I imagine it's up and running now.
Then you said they mentioned why they crashed?
Unprecedented surge.
I know they added more tickets, but Bahamians tend to always want Junkanoo tickets.
On the first day.
On the first day, everybody.
Listen, I don't know. I can't power a whole country with telecommunication services. I am just a jabroni. As a nobody. How many times are you all going to tell us that the systems that you build for your purposes are not effective, efficient, or sufficient to handle your own purposes, man? You didn't expect a surge of people buying Junkanoo tickets on the first day that the Junkanoo tickets were sold? You didn't build out your system to anticipate a surge? You know, the surge is only going to be for a short time. See, that's the nature of these systems. The surge is only going to be for a small time. The capacity to handle the surge has to be built into the system. And so I would hate to think that somebody is sitting there again this year saying, man, there's only going to be a surge for 2 minutes. It only could be a surge for 5% of the time. Why build the system to meet the needs if you only gonna have that need for 5% of the time?
So you don't expect this to happen next year?
I expect it to happen next year.
Expect it to happen next year.
The same way I expect the prodigal sons to not make it to Bay.
We could invite Alive and have them explain what happened. See if they could build the system for next year.
I mean, that would be great.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense, though. Every year? Every new system we build, the people who build it, we have to look at them while they say, well, we didn't expect you. What do you mean you didn't expect it? You built the system and didn't expect it? Oh, my goodness. Mm. You know, there's this old story. When Biden was waking on the island 30, 40 years ago, this guy, he's waking on the island, and the big man came to the island. So they figured the big man come in, we can have food, right? There can be food for the wakers. And so he come to talk to them, like, right before lunchtime. And somebody pipe out from the back, what's for lunch? And the man said to him, if you didn't plan to eat, I suggest you don't plan to get hungry.
Hmm. On Bay Street now, the COI is doing a protest. Right now, at this present time, their process says kill the bill. I mean, the bill didn't pass and they go into the Senate, but they want kill the bill. The COI has a member of parliament in the House. What was his obligation in terms of the debate? Because they still round, but killing the bill. I want to understand, where did the COI fail in terms, because they have a member of parliament in the House who could participate in the debate for passing the bill.
Okay, pause. In nature, in theory, mm-hmm. right? But we also know that opposition members, it seems that they often get disrespected in terms of the time that they have available to them. There is supposed to be an opportunity for him to speak, but in effect,
the
was there actually an opportunity? What do you mean in the second or the third reading?
And they do it for the second reading, all objections and suggestions on how to improve a bill, according to
how many questions still left on the list for question time?
I can imagine that.
Yeah.
I can imagine some questions left out. Mm-hmm. And one of the callers mentioned that they moved Section 11. Mm-hmm. Right, and then another one caller raised a concern, and one caller says it's a good thing. And there's Section 11 where people say, "Oh, that's where he was given the smuggled immunity, right, or asylum," mm-hmm. and then it was taken out. I am still concerned whether taking that particular section out, how will the government get people who were smuggled to testify against the smuggler? Like, what incentive, what measure in the law is there for those people
Somebody, there was a text and the person said, what you mean they can't testify? They could testify remotely. And I was like, from which office? They have a live in Haiti?
But we know if they have telephone.
I mean, see, this is the part here, I guess, the context that's always missing with these conversations, right? There's a state of conflict in Haiti right now. They are being occupied. It's like the worst type. They're being occupied. It's like a silent war. They're being occupied.
How do you swear someone in a foreign jurisdiction to say you testify under oath?
Well, they go to the Bahamian consular office, which is the Bahamas, right? Like
Is there a court of law in the consulate that they could do that? Is that consulate open still in Haiti? Remember they moved to Santo Domingo at one point in time.
Pause. If there is a consular office available, right, in Haiti, they would go there, mm-hmm. right, to be sworn in. They would go there, I imagine, either there or the Attorney General's office in Haiti, right? With our consular staff.
Who picks them up? Especially if the consulate is in Port-au-Prince and they live in Port-au-Pays. I don't know where they should be in Haiti. In Port-au-Pays, thousands of miles away.
I think those people haven't thoroughly considered what it is that they're suggesting. That's all. They just haven't sat down and considered it thoroughly. Right, that if you suspect that somebody, right, you want somebody to testify and identify people who are part of a conspiracy, a major conspiracy, smuggling conspiracy from one jurisdiction to the other, and you're going to send those witnesses back to the jurisdiction where potentially the conspiracy originates, right? Mm-hmm. Then how are you going to ensure their safety? You put a target on their back. How are you going to ensure their safety?
Let me see if I can squeeze this caller in. Kermit. Squeeze this caller in for me, please. Go ahead, caller. You're live.
Calling for the show.
Go ahead. You're live.
Hey, New York, how you doing, Luby?
Doing well, man. How you doing? Oh, it's Luby. Go ahead, man.
Yeah. Aaron Green, how you doing, Duke?
Good, thank you. How you do?
And happy Human Rights Day to both of you.
Yeah, man.
Man, I think the last point that you guys just made prompted me to call when you mentioned the incentives, Nuri, to testify. And I think the clause or clauses that were in the bill were a good bargaining chip for the government to kind of convince those persons to testify against the smugglers. And with that not being there, I would be hard-pressed to believe that anyone is going to risk themselves, their safety, to testify against somebody us having that incentive where there is some level of protection for the individual. Now, without that protection for these individuals, they're going to be subjected, and still would be subjected to the immigration rules, and you send them to Haiti, and I think you just touched on who would pick them up if we even tried to have something where, you know, they need to be in Port-au-Prince. But who's going to Port-au-Prince? Haitians are not going to Port-au-Prince. Persons from other regions, other departments, other states in Haiti, they're not going to Port-au-Prince. So you're not going to find anyone who's going to testify against the smugglers. You're going to end up with a situation where, let's say, a sloop is sailing in from Haiti. Everyone is going to say, nobody's going to admit that they are the captain of the sloop. Nobody's going to agree and say that I am. And that's the way it has always been. And so you came up with an avenue now to try to curb that, to incentivize individuals to come forward and let us know who is the captain of this sloop and who is the smuggler in this case. And I can tell you, I would believe that the smugglers themselves are in far lesser numbers than persons who are wanting to be smuggled. And if you can get the smugglers and to, you know, attack that ring or that sector or whatever they may have, then you may see a reduction in those sorts of activities. But outside of being able to, you know, go hard on them, then what do we have?
Luby, let me ask you this. There's a number of people who say that the Haitian church is involved in the smuggling racket, especially those who are erected churches in unregulated communities, right? That they are aware of when people coming in, they orchestrated. I'm not saying it's true or false, but right, they orchestrated. Without that section, would you think that those who were smuggled into the country would be prepared to testify against church leaders?
Well, definitely not, man. Definitely not. Why would they? Why would they? While they may be paying their monies to be smuggled, in their eyes or in their minds, they may feel as if, you know, this is a service that's available, and this person made it available, so why would I want to throw him under the bus? Maybe I have a cousin, maybe I have some other family members, even if I'm caught, that, you know, somewhere down the line they want to take up that service and take the risk. You know, they're risking their lives, they're risking being blacklisted in certain jurisdictions. Why should I throw him under the bus if I'm already going to be punished myself? So whether I do that or not.
I appreciate you calling, Luby. Thanks again.
Yeah, man.
Good. Let's see if we run through that, or you want to comment first before you run through these calls.
I just wanted to say, you know, I realize we have similar attitudes around victims and victimhood, right? We say the same thing about young people and sexual violence, right? Young people and rape. You must be complicit. They're 15, they said yes to a big man, that they don't have good sense. We know they don't have good sense. We know their brains have not formed yet. We know that your brain doesn't finish growing until you hit about 25, right? We recognize that in minors and young people, and we treat them as such, right, as victims, even though they have a degree of agency. That's why when the minister said that everybody knows a seven-year-old could consent to sex even though the court won't recognize it. That's why we denounce that foolishness.
Okay, let's go to the court. But let me read this text. It says, sadly, the one COI representative in the House of Assembly was not there to vote. He should have been there to have his no vote counted. Now his party is out there protesting. Go ahead, caller. You're live.
Hello.
Hello, you're live.
Good morning. I just tuned into you. Somebody may have called and said this already. You may have said this already, but I'm calling in because I don't usually call, but I was just so annoyed. My thing is, as a Bahamian, we have to look at what's the worst of two evils. What is the greater, I should say, of two evils? As far as I'm concerned, between the smuggler and the smuggled, I prefer to get the smugglers. Here's why. If there were no smugglers taking these people's monies, these people would still find a way. Decades ago, Elian Gonzalez, those from Cuba, went to the States in what? In an inner tube? Or they were heading in an inner tube? However, if there are no people to pay to be smuggled, they'd be seen with smugglers. So why? We have to weigh it. Which is the lesser two evils? As a country, we ought to be working at getting fewer, scaring them into not coming. We're going to catch you if you come. Smugglers, if there's no people paying, they won't be smuggled. They're doing it for the love. They're doing it for the money. Take away the money and the people's desire to come, and that's half of the problem addressed. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, God, I appreciate you. She said, worry about the people who are being smuggled into the country and not the smuggler.
Producer, you don't have any gospel music. I tell you, have the gospel music on hand in case I change my life from Christ.
We know from history that desperate people will come. They do whatever. If you risk yourself on a rinkly-dinkly boat to come on the boat, which you could capsize any minute, and we've seen boat capsize and everybody drown, whatever it is, because of how hard it is, we know that. Because of the living circumstances, they will come. Mm-hmm. But there are people who facilitating their coming.
You know, when you're making 16 cents a day, but the legitimate at the good job. You know, when you had the good job and you're making 16 cents a day.
Yeah.
And then the foreigner comes in and says, oh, the people agitating for you to double their pay from 16 cents to 32 cents a day? No. Shut it down. Shut it down. They don't like it? Let me get my government. Hold on. Let me call my government. To tell y'all we ain't for that. Every Bahamian today, I want you to consider what it means to be in a situation where you got the good job and you're making 16 cents a day. And then somebody like a Hillary Clinton could come to Hillary's Haiti and say, no, 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 no. I don't like that. I don't like that 16 cents. I don't like that 32 cents. That can't work. Keep it at 16 cents a day. how you feel.
Let me run through this text. A training ground. I'm always shocked at how 10 or so men with an agenda tell the populace absolute nonsense and we celebrate it. I've been talking about this for 10 or more years. First, they obliterate the backbench. They tell MPs they have to vote party line, and now the red line. They destroy the Senate by telling us they want to train smart young people, and we fall for it. Again, this is the place where the most experience is supposed to reside. I personally agree with you, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see. Good morning, Lady Green. Mr. Henfield could not carry March. What he stole from another, the idea he started was not birthed from him. It was too much for him to carry. He, Henfield, wanted something, and I guess he got it. He is now lame.
We ain't gonna forget, dear Texter, we ain't gonna forget Campaign for the Bahamas and Our Carmichael. We ain't gonna forget the community organizations, and that wasn't the only one. Those aren't the only ones. Remember Lamarck?
Mm-hmm.
Lamarck Campbell?
Yeah.
Right? There were other organizations that were involved in bringing to the streets the thing that we then called We March. The first march was called the Blackout March.
Okay.
25th of November, it was on the Black Friday. I have a problem with y'all using American Black Friday as a cultural point. And then the second march was on Majority Rule Day the next year. So the first march was Black Friday, the Friday after Thanksgiving on the 2016. And the second march was 10th of January on Majority Rule Day 2017.
Last text says, Aaron, you're so correct with these Senate appointments. The government does not understand the great importance of the proper expertise needed by those people. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. And to save us, Jesus needs to take the wheel.
My producer know how to pinch me right. Yeah. That's all.
Yeah. Have a wonderful day.
So give me one more chance.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.